Jesus was an amazing storyteller. Jesus could take stories and pictures of everyday life and something very common that everyone would know and see and understand in the earthly realm and drive home a spiritual truth. And that's exactly what he does in challenging us to look at our hearts in Luke chapter 8. So we're going to pick up in Luke chapter 8 this morning. We're going to pick up reading in verse number 4. Luke chapter 8, as we think about how's your heart. Luke chapter 8, picking up in verse number 4. It says this, as a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from every town, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the sky devoured it. Other seed fell on the rock. When it grew up, it withered away since it lacked moisture. Other seed fell among thorns. The thorns grew with it and choked it. Still other seed fell on good ground, and when it grew up, it produced 100 times what was sown. As he said this, he called out, let anyone who has ears to hear, listen. With that, let's pray. God, thank you for your word and speak to us today. And may we have ears to hear that listen today. And challenge us as we think about our heart and the power of your word. In your name we pray. Amen. As we open up Luke chapter 8 in verse number 1, Jesus is traveling with his disciples and some others along the Sea of Galilee. We have looked over the last few weeks at Jesus in his Galilean ministry, upper on the northern side of Israel around the Sea of Galilee. And while Jesus is up there, his disciples are following him. And in verses 2 and 3 tell us that there were some other women that were following him as well. And they were providing financial support for Jesus and the disciples in their ministry. Now, as Jesus strolls into some area, a large crowd gathers around him. And so Jesus then, the first thing he does is he begins to tell a story. And this is a story about a sower, seed, and soils. So the first thing as we open this passage this morning is we see that Jesus is telling a story. And it's a story about sower, seeds, and soil. So as Jesus drives home this picture, he says a guy is sowing. He's a farmer and he goes out and he grabs some seed and he throws seed out there. And some of the seed falls along the path. And along the path, it's hard and so it doesn't penetrate the ground. And so the birds come and eat it up. Then he says there's some seed that falls along the ground where it is a rocky soil. In other words, it may have just a thin layer of dirt on top, but underneath is a heavy rock presence, limestone most likely. And so it only has a couple of inches of dirt. And so the seed falls in the ground and it sprouts up kind of quick, but there's no moisture. And when the sun is blaring in the Middle East where Israel is, and the seed begins to sprout up and there's not enough moisture in the ground and in the roots, then it withers and dies. Then he talks about seed that grows up, but it is among weeds. And the weeds take that plant that begins to grow and they choke it out. And then Jesus says that there's some seed that falls on good soil. This is the soil that the farmer has worked and this is where he wanted it to land. And this good soil produces up to 100 times in production of what was planted. And then Jesus declares, and if anyone has ears to hear, let him listen, or let him hear. If you have ears to hear, listen. Now, it is said that William Shakespeare, in his book, in his writing, Julius Caesar, when Mark Anthony stands up and says, "Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. We've not come to praise Caesar, you know, though." But that phrase, "Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ear." They said that he got that from the scripture when Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, listen." In the book of Revelation, as we look at the churches in Revelation, Jesus says, "Hey, let the church listen to what the Spirit is saying. If you have ears to hear, listen." Now, I don't know if you've been married or married a long time, or if you even have noticed in your parents, but sometimes husbands are not good listeners. Can I get an amen to that, any of you ladies? Yeah, all right. So anyway, it's like, you know, my wife tells me she said something and I have no recollection of that at all. So, you know, did she really tell me, or is she just covering herself now? Well, I have to say there's a lot of times when she does speak to me and, you know, I'm on my phone, I got a text, there's something important on the news. And sometimes she tries to talk to me during sports. And, you know, that just doesn't always register. I hear, I mean, but it's not listening. And now Jesus is saying, "Look, I've told this story. Now you have ears. Now listen. Pay attention. Turn away the distractions. Listen to me. This is important." Well, Jesus, you've told a story that we see every day in real life. And so then the disciples ask the question, "What does this mean?" So we see the story is given, and then the disciples come back with the question, "Jesus, what do you mean?" So let's pick back up in Luke chapter 8, and we've got to read the question and ask, what does this mean? What is Jesus really talking about? So we pick up in verse number 9. It says, "Then his disciples asked him, 'What does this parable mean?' So he said, 'The secrets of the kingdom of God have been given for you to know, but to the rest it is in parables, so that looking they may not see, and hearing they may not understand.'" Now, when I was a child in Sunday school class, I learned that parables are earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. Okay? It's pretty standard. Okay? So the disciples are asking the question, "What does this mean? Jesus, why are you speaking to us like this?" And Jesus now is going to answer. "I'm speaking to you in parables. I'm giving you an earthly story, but I'm speaking in parables for two reasons. I'm speaking to you in parables because to those who have an open heart, parables reveal truth." So parables are going to reveal truth to those who have an open heart. Parables are going to open up the truth and unlock the truth in someone's life when you have an open heart to that. So when I speak and you have this understanding and desire to learn, then these parables are going to reveal truth to you. He says that the secrets or the mysteries of the kingdom have been given to you. So I'm speaking to you in parables, but I'm giving you the understanding, and soon he's going to give the explanation. But I'm speaking to you because I know you have an open heart, that you are interested in the things of the Lord, and that you want to grow. So parables reveal truth to open hearts, but Jesus tells us also that parables conceal truth to closed minds. They will be looking but not seeing. They will hear, but they will not be able to listen and understand. So what is Jesus saying here? That as he is speaking and sharing this story about a sower who goes out to sow, there is a deeper secret. There is a deeper meaning to this, but there are some people who could care less about what I'm teaching. As long as I'm doing some miracles, as long as I'm feeding people, as long as blind eyes are opening and lame are walking and dead children are coming back to life, some of you are following me because you think I'm like a magician or something. Some of you are following me for the miracles, but you're not following me for the message. And that's what Jesus is driving home here. If you have an impure, closed off mind to the fact that I am the Messiah, that I am God in the flesh, that I am the Savior of the world, then understand these parables are going to hide the truth from you. And this is what Jesus said. Now, as we look back to Isaiah chapter 6, we look at one of the key chapters of the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 6, it says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And you remember, there's this picture of the seraphim there, and they're crying out, holy, holy, holy. Well, in that same passage, Isaiah says, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. And the Lord takes an angel, and he takes an ash from the fire, and he sticks it on Isaiah's tongue, and he then calls him to ministry. And the question is asked in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 8. He says, then I heard the voice of the Lord ask, who should I send and who will go for us? All right. So here Isaiah, Old Testament, we're talking 700 plus years before Jesus. King Uzziah has died. Now he's commissioning Isaiah to go. Who's going to go? Who shall I send? And Isaiah says, here am I, send me. And then the Lord says this, go and say to these people, keep listening, but do not understand. Keep looking, but do not perceive. Make the minds of these people dull. Deafen their ears and blind their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their minds and turn back and be healed. Then Isaiah says, Lord, until when, Lord? And he says, until cities lie in ruins without inhabitants and houses are without people and the land is ruined and desolate. He's telling Isaiah, and this is often used as a missions calling message, and it is that. He's calling him to a mission, but he's calling him to a mission where he's going to say, people are going to look, but they're not going to see. They're going to hear, but they're not really going to listen. And now Jesus picks up on that, and he says, just as in the book of Isaiah, he says, you're going to keep preaching this until judgment comes. Jesus is saying that for each of us, when we decide we're going to close our heart, our mind, our ears to the truth of God, that there is a time I do not know when, and there is a place that I do not know where, but there is a time when the Lord will say, you didn't want to listen, now you won't. You didn't want to see it, now you won't. You have sinned away the day of grace. I don't know when that day is. I don't know where that place is. But what I do know is as the Lord is speaking here, he's saying, look, I'm speaking and I'm going to reveal truth over here to those who have an open heart, an open mind, and I am going to conceal truth to those who have a closed mind and a closed heart to who I am as Messiah. Tough words. Jesus would say that we're not to cast our pearls before swine. That's what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is saying there is a time when people who refuse to hear will not hear anymore. It's kind of like Pharaoh in the Old Testament. He hardened his heart to the Lord and to the Lord's will for his life. And so then the Lord hardened his heart even harder. There is a place, there is a time when the Lord said, I have said enough and you have not listened. I will speak to you no more. There is the question, Lord, what do you mean? Now he's going to go into the explanation of the story. The disciples are saying, Lord, why are you speaking to us in parables? And he said, because parables are going to reveal truth. Parables are going to conceal truth. But now I'm going to explain what this means. And so he picks up in verse number 11. And pick up with me as we read the explanation together, beginning in verse number 11. It says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. The seed along the path are those who have heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the seed on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, having no root. These believe for a while and fall away in a time of testing. As for the seed that fell among thorns, these are the ones who, when they heard, go on their way and are choked with worries, riches, and pleasures of life, and produce no mature fruit. But the seed in the good ground, these are the ones who, having heard the word with an honest and good heart, hold on to it and by enduring produce fruit. Jesus is going to say, here's the real picture here. As we look at the explanation of what this is really all about. Notice in verse number 11, he says the meaning of the parable is that the seed is the word of God. So the sower is going to spread the seed, which is the word of God. Now, God's word is pictured as a seed. This is not the only place that it is pictured as a seed. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 23, it says that you were born again, not of perishable or corruptible seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. What is Peter saying? That the reason that we're born again is because the imperishable word of God is planted into our hearts, and we, boom, now have a new life. We experience a transformation in our heart and life. There is a day, hopefully, that you can have some recollection of a day or a place or a time or a season in your life where you know that God's word was planted, the gospel message was planted in your heart. And as that message was planted in your heart, you came to understand it is not by going to church, and it's not by doing good works, and it's not by giving money, and it's not by my attendance, and it's not by my good outweighing my bad, and it's not by all this other list of things, but it is by trusting Jesus alone, that he died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin, that he rose again from the dead, that he is the only way of salvation. And when that comes to truth, that truth penetrates our heart, and we recognize, man, I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sin and rose again, and I need him in my life. Then the Bible says we have this pow, born again experience where God begins to work and we have a new life. Now listen, for many of us, the seed has to be planted and then the soil has to be taken care of and watered for a while and all of those kind of things. And we may hear the word of God and it may be watered by lots of different sources, but there is a day and a time for those of us who know Jesus in our life that we had that experience where God's seed of his word transformed us and brought new life. And that's what seed does. Seed produces life. I mean, a seed just looks like a little speck. I mean, it looks like a little chunk of sand, a little piece of gravel. But you take that and you put it in soil and it brings forth life and it produces fruit. That's the key. So the sower spreads the seed, which is the word of God. Now, the picture then is that the hearts of men, the soil is kind of like our hearts. So the soil is in comparison to how our hearts are going to receive the word of God. The soil pictures our heart and how we receive the word of God. So we have the seed, which is God's word. And listen, God's word is never going to fail. God's word is everlasting. Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall not pass away. We know that God's word is eternal. God's word doesn't change. His plan of salvation is forever sealed in the person of Jesus for us today. And so now the soil is going to be the determining factor on what happens with the seed. So let's take a picture of the soils then. First, we think about that path or that where the seed cannot penetrate. The path pictures or represents a hard heart, a callous heart, a heart where the seed of God's word is impenetrable. If you grew up on a farm or you've been to a farm, you realize that as plowed area of the farm is there, there has to be somewhere for the tractors to drive or for the farmer to walk. And so often along the side of the crops, there's places where the agricultural workers, the farmers, they get down and they do their work and they're doing what they need to do to bring forth a crop. But that place gets walked on. It gets trampled. The seed on that side would get trampled. And because it would just kind of be on top of the ground, then it says that the birds would come and eat that. But here, it says that that hard heart, when the seed hits that soil, that the devil is the one who comes and grabs that seed. Maybe he comes and says, hey, you don't want to really follow Jesus. I mean, if you do that, what will your friends think? This whole fear of man kind of thing. Or fear of family. What will your family think? If you join a church, if you trust Jesus as Savior, if you walk away from our denomination or from the religion that you grew up with, there is this fear of man that the devil can throw at us. There's also this fear that says, what will my friends think if they're not really into church? Will I be persecuted because I say that I'm going to trust Jesus? So the devil comes and he grabs that seed. What if I don't want to give up my sin? What if I just want to keep living the way I want and doing my own thing and charting my own course and sailing my own ship? Well, the devil will say, hey, do your own thing. You don't need that. So the path represents a hard heart. And when the seed hits that hard heart, the devil comes and grabs it. Then there is this soil that has the rock in it. The rocky soil represents really kind of a superficial heart and superficial decision. It's not really real. It's the soil is shallow. I mean, you plant that seed, and yesterday plan B for Connect Ministry was they got these little flower pots and they put some stickers on them and they put a couple inches of potting soil in it and they put a seed in it. And listen, that thing can sprout up pretty quickly. But you put that on your back porch for a few days and let it go outside in the weather, and you're going to find that if we have some hot, dry weather like we've had, it's not going to last long. It just sprouts up quick. It looks like there's potential, but there's never any performance of producing fruit. I've watched people in superficial decisions and emotional decisions. Years ago, when I was in Mississippi, I had a man stop by the church one day, and his wife was in a terrible car accident, and they didn't know if she was going to make it. And I went down to the Med, which is the big hospital, the big trauma hospital down there. And as I went down there and saw her and talked to him, he's like, man, I've got to get my heart right with the Lord, and I'm going to do that. And if she just gets out of that hospital, you're going to see me every week here. And man, you have a Bible. We just moved and I packed mine and I can't find it. I give the guy a Bible, and guess what? Never saw him again. His wife got out of the hospital. That's all I know. Yeah. Jesus, help me in this moment. But it's just kind of shallow and superficial. Oh, now I'm okay again. I had a woman in Georgia a few years ago who started coming to church and expressed this great interest in spiritual things. And then she dropped off of the scene altogether. And after trying to inquire, what in the world happened? You seem so hungry and so interested in spiritual things. What's going on? Well, come to find out, when she started coming to church, she was breaking off an affair with a man that I knew as well. And she was breaking that off, and he was giving her a hard time and fighting her about breaking off the affair. So finally, he got out of her life, and then she dropped back into worldly patterns. And the next thing I knew, she had run off with a man who left his wife and kids. Superficial. It's just like, hey, Jesus, be my lucky rabbit's foot. Get me out of problems. I'll show some spiritual interest just so you can help me. But the truth is, I'm not really into it. I just want that momentary help. Then not only do we see the path, that hard soil and that rock that soil with the rock, but then we see the soil that is crowded out by the thorns. We think about that thorny soil that just is showing a crowded heart, that it's just too crowded. There's too many other things. It gives the picture that the seed is planted and it begins to grow, but the weeds begin and the concerns of the world begin and the pleasures of the world begin to pull and the riches of the world begin to pull. So that, hey, I can follow Jesus, but you know what? I'm not sure I want to give this up over here. I'll pray a prayer. I can do that. But really what I want is I want to make money. I'm more interested in my career. I'm more interested in moving up the ladder. I'm more interested in my 401k and retiring early. I'm more interested in my financial success. So he talks about the worries or the concerns of the world, and he talks about the riches of the world, and then he talks about the pleasure of the world. And the word pleasure, we get the word hedonism from that we use today. That's from the Hebrew, or from the Greek word here. Hedonism is basically, I'm going to live a life for me, full of pleasure, and if it hurts you, I'm going to do what I want anyway, because life is all about me. I want to be my own God and follow my own dearest God of pleasure and do what I want, and if it hurts you, too bad. It's all about me. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry while I'm here. I don't want to miss anything. That seed begins to grow and everything begins to pull. Concerns of the world, riches of the world, pleasures of the world. And again, what looked like had some promise brings no performance and no endurance and mainly just wrong priorities. And then Jesus talks about the good soil, the soil that falls in the good places of life. And notice what he says here. He says, but the seed in the good ground, these are the ones who, having heard the word with an honest and good heart, hold on to it and by enduring produce fruit. So what do we find? We find there is enduring fruit. And we find that there is producing fruit. The good soil represents a receptive heart. A heart that is willing to receive. That's willing to take God's word in. And this is the one that's going to endure. Listen, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. This is that sentiment. That says, I'm receiving God's word in my life, and there are no plan B's for this. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm planting my life on the good word of God, and as I do that and have an open heart to him, there is no turning back. And this fruit that endures then produces a crop. And this is what God wants to do in our life. It's interesting. We know that ultimately the one who sows is the Lord. He may use people and vehicles and radio and songs and all of those kinds of things, but we know the ultimate sower is the Lord. And we know that the seed is good seed, the word of God. But the difference in these four is that it's all about the soil. It's all about the heart. Now, Jesus is going to drive this home in an application. We're going to look at it very, very quickly. But notice with me down in verse number 16. And we think about the application. He says, no one after lighting a lamp covers it with a basket or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see its light. For nothing is concealed that won't be revealed, and nothing hidden that won't be made known and brought to light. Therefore, take care how you listen. Do you see that? Take care how you listen. If you have ears to hear, listen. Take care how you listen. But whoever has, more will be given to him. But whoever does not, even what he has, what he thinks he has, will be taken away from him. Let me give you three applications real quick out of these three verses. Application number one, we think about this. God's truth is to be shared like a light. He says, no one lighting a lamp covers it with a basket as we receive God's word in our life, as he plants his word into a receptive heart, we are to go and to shine and to share that light with others. Just as the Lord takes the light of Jesus in this moment and shares that light by sharing this parable, now he calls us to be the ones who share his truth. The second notice in verse number 17, he says, nothing is concealed that won't be revealed and nothing hidden that won't be made known. God's truth reveals what is hidden. God's truth reveals what is hidden. Some of you today, you may think, yeah, I'm getting away with this because my mama don't know, my daddy don't know, or my spouse don't know, my children don't know, my grandchildren don't know about this. And yet God's truth always reveals what is hidden. The things that we try to hide in our life, God's word is like a light. And God's light shines into the depths of the recesses of our heart, and he takes what is hidden and what is concealed and reveals it. And you can hide it for a while, but you can't hide it forever. This week, I was having lunch with somebody on Monday, and while I was having lunch, Ravi Zacharias hit came up. Ravi Zacharias was a great defender of the faith and a prolific writer of books, and yet over the past years of his life, he died in 2020, but over the past years before that, had been abusing women. And now when you mention his name, you recognize that what he thought had been concealed has now been revealed, and you have to even question what was going on in his heart. There's no way we hide anything. And the third truth is this, and he says in verse number 18, therefore take care how you listen. Whoever has more is going to be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has will be taken. God's truth is to be carefully received. And he says this, if you'll listen and take it in, man, I've got more for you. I'll bless you more. I'll work in you more. There's more, there's more, there's more. But when you turn me off, even what you have can go. You're going to lose the blessings that you had in the past when you walk away from me. There's a man named David Roper, and he wrote in a short devotional, Our Daily Bread. He wrote this, I picked up a gardening book the other day, and I got some good advice. Take care of the soil and don't worry about the plants. If the soil is good, the seed will take root and grow. And you know what? Each of us can do one thing in our life. Take care of our soil. Take care of our heart. I can't do it for you and you can't do it for me. But we know God's word. We know who the ultimate sower is. So it all comes down to us. How are we listening? How are we receiving? Take care of the soil. The seed's good. The sower does a good job. Take care of the soil. Let's make sure our heart's not hard. Our heart's not just superficial. Our heart's not choked out by the things of the world, but that our heart is receptive, good soil. And with that, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. I pray that you would speak to us in your powerful and awesome name. Lord, as we step into this time of reflection, may it be genuinely a time when we recognize who you are and the power that you have and the grace that you show. Lord, if there's someone here today whose heart's not right, I pray today that they would hear your voice and that your kindness would lead them to repentance. Lord, there is a time and there is a place. I know not when, I know not where, but you may just quit speaking. So God, give us soft hearts. Make us good soil. In your name we pray.